I'm Jamelyn Steppen, and this is Want to Want It, episode number 34, The Future. Welcome to Want to Want It, a podcast for women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who are ready to ignite not only their sexual desire, but all of their desires to create a more fulfilling life and marriage. I'm Jamelyn Steppen. I'm a certified life coach, a wife, and a mother of seven children. I'm excited to share my personal journey to desire with you and teach you how to desire more as well. Hello, and welcome to the podcast today. I first want to just thank so many of you who just recently have sent me feedback about the podcast through emails or text or DMs. It's been just kind of shocking. It feels just like suddenly I got a lot of messages about the podcast, and I just really appreciate the feedback. I appreciate people's kindness and that people are listening. And mostly I'm just super thankful that it's been helping people. So I know I'm not for everybody. I know this podcast isn't for everybody, but for those of you that feel like it's helping you, I'm just really happy and glad that it has been a positive thing for your lives. So in the last podcast, I talked about the book A Christmas Carol, and I talked about Scrooge and his experience with the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present. The last ghost that he meets is the ghost of Christmas yet to come, or the ghost of Christmas future. Now, Scrooge has seen the past that was so hard, and then he sees the present, and he sees some of the good and the bad of the present, and he's just a lot more humble and teachable now. So even though the ghost of Christmas future doesn't ever speak to him, Scrooge learns so much from him because he is just so teachable now. But when he sees the future, it's actually really sad. He overhears people speak very callously about him. Bob Cratchit is still so poor, and his son Tiny Tim dies. He sees his own lonely grave, and he just is so distraught. And so he asks the ghost if what he has seen is what will be for sure, or if what he's seen will only be if he doesn't change his ways. But of course, the ghost doesn't talk. So Scrooge finally just has to decide in himself that he believes that the future can be changed and that his life can be made right. So as he is sobbing to the ghost, he suddenly finds himself back in the present day, where he changes the man that he was and therefore changes his future. And we know this because the book says Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And then it goes on to tell us that Tiny Tim lives and that Scrooge becomes like a second father to him, and that he becomes as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. And the reason that Scrooge had this outcome in his life was because he believed that he had the power to design and create his future. He saw that if he continued to live the way that he was, that he was going to create a very sad future. But it was in his hands to make it something completely different if he wanted. And that's what I want to talk about today. Our future is 5 minutes down the road, or 5 years, or 50 years, and it's ours for the making. Now, do you remember when you were a kid? Kids are very future-focused, right? They always are thinking about, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? And they're always excited about the next stage of life. I'm going to start school this year. I'm getting a driver's license. I'm going off to college, or I'm moving out of the house. I'm getting a career. I'm getting married, we're having a baby. But sometimes as adults, we get to where our kid brain ended, and then it seems like we forget how to dream, or that we still have the power to create our future. So I think about myself, and I realize I had a really good vision of what I wanted my life to be until I had kids. That was kind of where my juvenile brain could kind of get to. I wasn't dreaming about what I thought I was going to be like as a grandma. So I came to this point where it was like, I've got my education, I got my spouse, I've got my arms full of all these kids, I've arrived. And I guess now it's just time to live happily ever after, or just maybe coast through life and see if I can handle what it throws at me. So some of us stop making plans or dreaming, almost like we believe that the best of our life happens before we're 40. And then it's literally downhill from there. And I'm not just talking about downhill to your death, but downhill to our participation in the creation of our lives. I wish someone had told me how amazing my 40s were actually going to be, because I would have dreamed a lot more about it. And I definitely would have been way more excited about what was about to come. I mean, I've loved being pleasantly surprised, but I just had no idea that, honestly, the best was yet to come. Now, again, like I said before, we want to learn how to live from our future while still enjoying the present moment. So it becomes a skill almost to be able to enjoy today and still dream about tomorrow without the dream of tomorrow tainting today. Does that make sense? So when I got married, Jared was only 1 year into his undergraduate. So we spent the next 3 years thinking about medical school. And then an extra year after that, because he didn't get a single interview the first year. And then got into medical school. And then as medical school started to wind down, we were completely obsessed with what residency program he was going to get into and where we were going to be living. And then we got into residency. And then as residency began to drag on and our little starter home was beginning to be just pushed to its limit with all of our kids, all we could think about was him finally finishing all of his training. Now, it wasn't that I didn't enjoy my time during that season of my life. I was actually really happy. And I don't feel like I am actually any happier now than I was then, although my life looks very different. I feel like most of the time I was actually able to enjoy my present, but feel excited about the future. I mean, of course, there were times, especially that last year, when I believed so deeply that things would be better once he was done. And I was certainly excited about a future where my husband would never again say, "I can't, I have to study." But an interesting thing happened after he finished his training. At least this is what happened for me. I don't think the transition was actually that hard on Jared because he just dreams big and he loves to create his life on purpose. But I struggle a little bit with that. Our life had been completely laid out for us for the last 14 years. And now we could choose what we wanted to do with very few parameters. And this was completely new to me. I was 34 years old and I really had lived most of my life following a path that was expected of me. It was a good path. It was a path I'd chosen, but it was a long path that didn't have a lot of options for other choices along the way. Like from 5 years old, I had either been in school or supporting my husband in school. And we went where we were accepted. So I suddenly struggled with this idea that we could just choose what we wanted to do next. So Jared wanted to head to Australia or New Zealand for a little extra training and a year of family adventure. And that was terrifying to me that we could just choose it. In fact, as I prayed about that decision, I felt so distinctly that the Lord just was saying to me, "Guess what? If you decide to go to New Zealand, it's going to be great. And if you decide to stay in Canada, you're going to be happy. You get to decide. You get to choose." This was such a new level of responsibility for me to actually just choose what I wanted to do next. At least it kind of felt that way. I hadn't really realized that I'd always been choosing. And my husband's going to totally laugh at this whole train of thought because he's the guy who couldn't wait to start making his future on purpose. And I was the girl who was just happy for others to tell me what we're going to do next. It's taken me a lot of coaching to become somebody who understands that I have the power to create the future I really want. And that has just opened up a whole new level of excitement for me and anticipation for the future that I've never had before. If you don't think you have been someone who's created your future before, sometimes it can help us to see how we have always created our future by looking to our past. Did you know that we are all currently living out decisions that we made in the past? I am a wife and a mother because in my past, I made the decision that I wanted to be that. I have the food in my freezer I do because of the decisions I made in the past. I am a life coach because of a decision I made in the past. The relationship that I have with each one of my children today is because of choices I made in the past. I have a daily habit of reading the scriptures because of a decision I made in the past and all of the times that I recommitted to that habit. And, you know, the light fixture that needs to be replaced and still broken, it's still here because of decisions I made in the past. My car that's currently in the shop is because of a decision I made in the past. So it can be very fascinating to examine how your life today is a sum total of all of your past choices. And you maybe didn't make every decision thinking about the long-term impact, but what you did then impacts now. And more importantly, what you thought then impacts now. Like past me 10 years ago was unwilling to consider that I was worthy of true self-acceptance and self-love. That was not even in my realm. So now present me is having to do that work. But I'm actually happy to do it now because I wasn't ready then. Past me wasn't ready. But this is what I'm going to do now as a gift to future me so that she's not going to have to do that work. What you think about today matters for your tomorrow because, like I always say, what you focus on, you create more of. I was recently speaking to a friend. She had joined a business building group. So she's in this group, there's a leader, and this leader is helping them learn to build their business. But the leader of the business building group that she was in a mastermind of her own, and she was constantly complaining about the woman that was leading her mastermind that she herself was in. Well, sure enough, in a very short amount of time, this woman who was leading this business building group that my friend was in started to do the very things in this business group that she was complaining about the leader of her mastermind doing. So my friend could see that because the leader was so obsessed about the mistakes of her mastermind leader and how she was doing it all wrong, she was starting to create the exact same thing for her group. You create what you focus on. I think the church does a great job of helping to give us good things to focus on so that we end up creating good futures. And sorry, when I say the church, I'm meaning the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was recently in a training for the Children and Youth Program, and the book that they have for them is all about deliberately creating your future. It teaches the kids how to set goals that are spiritual, intellectual, physical, and social. Social, yes. And I think about how that is so well-rounded and gives them this future focus. And I think about even the young women themes and the young men theme. These are repeated often, and they actually have the power to create in the mind of the youth who they could be. It helps them to tap into that divine them that lies within them and ahead of them. So, of course, dreaming and setting goals is future-focused. And when I set a goal with the idea that I'm moving myself closer to the future self I want to be, it has a lot of meaning for me. I'm not setting goals just to check off a box. I have an idea of where I want to get to, and then I set goals that get me closer to that reality. So in business, I'll hear all the time of people who will set 5 or 10 year goals for their business, right? They're like, this is what I want my business to look like in 5 years. And then they start to break that goal down into yearly goals, and then they break those down into quarterly goals, and then they sometimes will break those down into 30-day goals. That's the way that they help themselves achieve their ultimate 5 or 10 year goal. So sometimes we have a really big place in the future that we want to get to, but it can be helpful to just start to take small steps towards it. I'm one of those businesswomen who struggle to see where I want my business to be in 10 years. But I have been more consistently making 30-day goals to move my business forward, and they cause me to grow myself more. So as that long-term vision starts to become more clear, then I know at least I've been doing some things to facilitate that dream. I've done some things that have helped me to grow. And as that dream becomes more clear, then I can become a little more deliberate in the goals that I set. So if you're a person who doesn't necessarily know what you want in 10 years, just make a 30-day goal to focus on that challenges you and keeps your focus on creating progression for yourself. It can be so easy to get focused on the past. And I know I already talked about this in my past podcast, so I don't want to talk too much about this, but it's natural for our human brains to go to the past to tell us about the future. Just today, my little girl sat down at the piano to practice a song that she started before we went on summer holidays. So in her mind, she's been working on this song for 4 months now, when in reality, she wasn't even playing the piano at all during the summer. Anyway, I suggested that maybe she could surprise her teacher and have the song completed when she went to her lesson on Thursday. Well, she immediately burst into tears and started to tell me how she'd been working on this song for months and she just couldn't get it. She was going to her past and asking her past what her chances were of completing her song this week. And her past was telling her it was impossible because that's all her past knows. We do the same thing. We ask our past if it's possible for us to lose weight and keep it off. We ask our past if we know how to keep a clean house or how to not procrastinate a project. We ask our past if we are good at school or learning new things. We ask our past so many questions, and it's not because our past has no good answers ever. Maybe it does have some insight, but generally our past is limited. Our past is very much, you can only do this and you can't do that because it's all that it knows. Whereas if we ask the future about the future, suddenly things become limitless. The future says you can change, you can learn, you can grow. Maybe in the past you were somebody who held a grudge, even if the past was yesterday. But in the future, you are more forgiving and forgetful. Maybe your past would say you aren't good at racket sports, but the future would say, hey, there's the perfect racket sport for you to enjoy and even excel at. Thank you so much, whoever invented pickleball. When it comes to exercise and running, I had a bad habit of always looking to the past to inform my feelings and thoughts about things now. I hate exercise was the common theme, or running just kills me. I'll only run as far as I can in 30 minutes. So until I can run a marathon in 30 minutes, it's never going to happen. And guess what? That past became my present and my future until one day I started to question it all. I just remember thinking, but what if I could run for more than 30 minutes and be okay? Like, maybe it's possible for me. My brain wanted to keep returning to the past and tell me, no, it isn't possible for you. It really wanted to limit me. But my future self told me that anything was possible, and it reminded me that the worst thing that could happen is I would fail, and then I could just go back to running for 30 minutes. So in March, I turned 45 and decided that for my 45th birthday, I would do my first 45-minute run. And I did it, and I didn't die. And since then, I have done hour-long runs. And so now when my brain tells me, oh, you're never going to run longer than an hour, I just always respond with, maybe. But you know what? We're going to see. It's possible I will run longer than an hour one day because I don't want to limit my future self. One of the tools I learned from the Life Coach School is writing a letter to myself from my future self. So sometimes at the beginning of a new year, I will write a letter from me dated December of that year, telling me all that I've accomplished and experienced this year and who I have become. And it's super fun at the end of the year to read that letter and see how much has actually come to pass. Other times when I feel like I don't know what to do, I'll ask my future self the question and write down what I think she would say. Or if I don't feel confident, I'll ask my future self to tell me why I should still go forward. One time I even wrote a thank you card to myself from my future self, thanking me today for all the hard things I was doing to make her life easier and more abundant. Now, I have to say, the first time I asked my future self what to do, I thought it was going to be a very fruitless experience, but I was shocked that I was able to tap into her and she really did have wisdom that I needed. So try this. Have your future self write you a letter and see what she has to say. You can make her 30 days older than you or 30 years. It's up to you and what you are seeking. You could also write your future self a letter telling her or him all that you're going to do for your future you. I remember hearing one man say that every time he goes to do something that's really difficult or uncomfortable or stretches him, he says to himself, "Dear future self, you're welcome." Sometimes I'll hear women especially, sometimes men though, right, talk about getting back to some weight that they were in the past. Or sometimes a man will say, "I wish we could go back to the time before we were married when you couldn't keep your hands off me." I understand this human tendency to sometimes glorify the past and therefore want to return to it. But we really are not meant to go back and relive the past. The reality is, we aren't the same person we were back then. That weight you were back then was possibly on a body that hadn't had a baby, hadn't struggled with chronic illness, or been through some really difficult trials. You can't go back to who you were before there were babies and trials. So why do you hold this expectation in your head that you should look like her? I mean, if you have a really healthy relationship with that goal to get to a certain weight, that's great. But if you have this, I just have to get back there story that you beat yourself up with, it's not kind, it's not helpful, and it's honestly not realistic. Even if you could be that weight again, you're never going to beat her. Or if you're a man or a woman who wants to go back to the days when they felt like their sexual desire was so high and it was just everything you could do to just keep yourselves morally clean, how is that serving your marriage today? You can't be that man or that woman ever again. You have a completely different life now. And to even expect that your wife is going to be the same woman you dated is impossible. It's just like a wife expecting her husband to be the same man she dated. you're not married to him anymore. That's not the person he is anymore. It's like wishing that they had remained stagnant and that you had remained stagnant. We just aren't meant to go backwards. So if you want to make a weight loss goal, make one that isn't looking back. Don't say, I want to get back down to my pre-pregnancy weight. Instead, tell yourself how many pounds you want to lose or the specific weight that you want to be in the future. If you want to increase your sexual desire, don't tell yourself you want to feel like you did before you got married and or before you had a bunch of kids. That kind of pressure is actually going to kill sexual desire because there's so much pressure to become something that you were that you can't be anymore. Instead, open yourself up to the possibility that you can create any sexual desire you want and then get to work learning how to increase that desire that feels good to you and matches the woman that you are today. And stop wishing that you or your husband were who you were back then and get busy loving who you both are now and deliberately creating who you want to be tomorrow. I think it is a really good idea to practice envisioning future you. I go back and forth with my skill at this or the time that I take with this, but when the vision is very clear in your mind, you actually begin to feel inside yourself what it will be like to be him or her. And then you are more likely to actually become that person. Because your feelings are going to push you to act like that man or that woman and to do the things that they do. Now, again, little kids are really good at this. They are really good at seeing themselves in their parents' shoes or some other adult that they see a lot. It was easy for me to see myself as a mother because every day I saw it modeled for me. But as we get older, we stop doing this so much. So now we have to get practicing again. Maybe you can look around and see other people that live in ways that you like or dress how you like or act in ways that appeal to you, and you can start to envision yourself doing what they are doing. Maybe you have a dream for your future that you have never seen modeled before, and you're actually trying to create it from scratch in your head. The key is to start to really see it. I have a friend who would always take time to visualize her future self before she went to sleep, and this was powerful for her. I know I do not do this enough, but I do believe that if we deliberately take the time to visualize our future selves every day, even for 1 minute, and again, that can be 30 days down the road or 30 years, we will increase our chance of becoming that person. And let's face it, your mind is creating a future you vision already. It's doing it because our brains do that. So whether you're being deliberate about it or not, it's being created. So maybe don't let your default future come to pass and create a future that you really love. One last thing I want to suggest. You haven't missed out. No doors are closed. If you think you were held back and missed out on doing something because your parents were too poor to put you in lessons, guess what? You can do that thing now. You can save your money and take those violin lessons. If your mom told you that hair school was a waste of time and so you did accounting instead, guess what? You can go to hair school. If you are 50 years old and want to run a marathon, stop looking back at all the times you quit training and look forward to your possibility. This podcast is about desire, and desire is very future-focused a lot of the time. That's why I don't want you to think that what you desire is impossible for you. Very few doors ever shut in our lives forever. And very few things are out of our reach. If you want to do something, become something, experience something, let that desire be inside of you. Let it work inside of you until your brain finds a way for you to get what you want. Tapping into desire is tapping into future you. But be careful, because sometimes we tell ourselves that we want something, but not yet, or we aren't worthy of it yet. And so then it becomes something that really only ever exists in the future. We just continually push it forward and you never get to it. That's why setting goals with timelines can help you to wait on your desire if you have to, but always move you closer to it until you finally have it. I want you to remember, if nothing else, that you are the child of the most creative being in the universe. And therefore, you have the gift of creation inside of you. And he expects you to use it to create your life. He wants you to co-create your life with him. I want you to do one thing today for your future self. Anything at all that feels like it is a gift you are giving yourself tomorrow or that moves you towards the future you really want. remember that as a life coach, I specialize in helping people create their futures deliberately. If you want one-on-one help from me to stop recreating your past and learn how to make the future that you really want, click on the link in the show notes to book a free 25-minute session with me. On this virtual call, I'll help you get started on looking forward on purpose. And also, we'll see if you're a good fit for my 12-week coaching program. See you next week. Thanks for listening today. If you like what you hear on the podcast and you'd like to learn more, feel free to head over to my website, jamelynstephancoaching.com, or find me on Instagram or Facebook at jamelynstephancoaching.